Welcome to the Free Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Miles. The Free Lawyer Podcast is designed for the lawyer, entrepreneur, or professional who is in some way unfulfilled, stressed, or stuck, and is looking for something better. We will discuss various blocks that limit us from achieving the personal freedom that we all desire, but have not yet fully experienced. And we will give actionable steps to free yourself from them. Are you looking to achieve a new level of success? If so, this podcast is for you. Hey everybody, thank you for joining us today for the Free Lawyer. I'm so happy you're here. Couple things before we get started with just a great interview today. I love the fact that y'all listen to this podcast. It's gotten such great reception, and it means so much to me because I do this as a way to help and support lawyers. And the more of you that listen, the more I accomplish that goal, because I think there are a lot of issues in our legal profession today, and it's become my passion to give voice to them and come up with some solutions. And that's part of what we're going to talk about here today. But if you like this podcast, you could do me a huge favor and give it a rating and review. That helps it to get seen more broadly. And that's really, really important to me. And many of you know, I've written a book called Breaking Free, A Guide to Professional and Personal Freedom as a Lawyer. I cover a lot of the main things we talk about today in our mental wellness and the mindset issues that stop us from being satisfied. So check it out. And it'd be handy to have a copy in your desk when you're struggling with perfectionism or worry or fear or self-doubt. There are answers in that book that can help you. So today we have Larry Williams with us. And Larry is a patent attorney in Cincinnati. But besides being an accomplished patent attorney, he, like me, has an incredible passion to talk about some of the issues we struggle with in our practice and in some of the wellness issues, and is striving to find balance in his life and give voice to those issues so we may all find more balance, more satisfaction, more fulfillment together. So, Larry, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to do this today.
Awesome. So, Larry, I know you're a chemical patent attorney. What? Tell me a little bit about your journey into the legal profession and how you found that avenue.
So, while I was in grad school, I was this goes pretty far back. I was working on reactions that had to be done under very high pressures at high temperatures. In effect, I have a bomb sitting in front of me behind a blast shield that I have to open. So I thought maybe I shouldn't do this for the rest of my life. At the same time, I was working on a project that was funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And we were looking for new pesticides that we could basically give away for free in areas of the world that have a big malaria problem. But to do that, you would have had to have had a U.S. company that was willing to take it through the regulatory process and everything like that. So I had interactions with patent attorneys pretty early on in grad school, and it continued through grad school. I liked what they did. I liked the thought of getting to learn about new science pretty much on a daily basis. And so went into grad school, or went into law school right after grad school. I graduated from grad school in 2008, the end of 2008. And as we all know, that was a horrible time to be graduating from anything. So the plan had been to work at a law firm during the day and then just do night school. That used to be an option for patent attorneys. You could go, and the law firms would pay for you to go to school, and it was it was a good deal for the patent attorneys, good deal for the firms. It gave a lot of goodwill. Unfortunately, that all stopped with the financial crisis in 2008. So went straight into law school, been practicing pretty much ever since.
Great, and I know we've talked before this episode, but we had another conversation, and I know you feel uneasy about the culture of modern legal practice today. Can you share a little bit about what specifically bothers you and why you see it as a common sentiment that many attorneys struggle with.
Definitely. I see a lot of burnout in the legal profession, and I really do think that that is a function of modern practice, specifically because we are always on. There's never a time that you can leave the office and put it behind you. You know, I talk to some of my more experienced colleagues, and they tell me that they used to go home and that was it. They were home, and it's just not like that for us. So, the burnout is the number one issue. And coupled with that, the other characteristics of attorneys, you know, we're perfectionists. We are already workaholics. We wouldn't get through law school if we weren't already predisposed to workaholism. So, all of that just it gives me a sense that we are not providing for our people in the manner that is best suited for our people. And then I think that has some pretty negative effects on society in general. I know this is kind of hokey, but I think that attorneys really are the guardians of democracy. And if we are not even able to take care of ourselves, I don't see how we can serve that function.
That's well said. And you know, I'm one of those mature members of the bar who remembers how easy it was to set boundaries. Because when I started practicing, we didn't actually have computers. They hadn't kind of been, well, we used to have one when I was in college, but the computer took up the whole room and they really were not in use yet. So for me, all I had to do was close the door to my office and there was my boundary. I could not work from home. Didn't mean I didn't have pressure and I might have to go on a Saturday to the office and work, but there's no issue of boundaries and there are no cell phone messages coming in while I'm at a soccer game. So boundaries were quite easy. And that really has changed, where particularly now as we've gone more virtual after COVID, folks are often working from their home and that has a lot of advantages, but it's really, really hard to set that boundary. And without that boundary, we don't get as much satisfaction out of the other areas of our life as well.
Right.
You know, you've talked about burnout, and one of the consequences of burnout that I've seen is I've seen some great folks choose to leave the profession or leave the practice because of that. What do you think are some of the reasons lawyers may leave the profession, and what impact does that have on us as a community who can be the guardians of sort of justice in the world?
Yeah, I share that concern. I look around and see a lot of really good attorneys just decide that they're done one day and they don't go back to the office and they're just done. Again, I think this goes back to that perfectionism. We are predisposed to being perfectionists as attorneys. It's just the nature of law school and getting to this point in life. We've been rewarded for that all along, just like we've been rewarded for working hard all along. And so we have I think as a rule, attorneys have a very hard time putting in boundaries, holding to their boundaries until they have been pushed so far that they can't take anymore at all. And I think that's when you see the people leave. And if they don't leave, they either become less effective as attorneys or they're just, it's just a miserable existence for them. In fact, that's a lot of why I got started being interested in this is I wanted to help that. I saw it with a lot of good attorneys leaving. Patent law, even typically, it's not like other areas of law. We're experts in a science before we ever become attorneys, and so it usually selects for people who are. How can I put it? They're typical scientists and engineers. We will take a lot. We've been through a lot in school, and we'll take a lot.
Same trends in that area, which is quite different than, for example, commercial litigation or something like that.
Yeah. So I guess where I'm going with that is that I was surprised that so many patent attorneys also end up throwing in the towel because I thought that. Because we're so used to it, we would just be able to muddle through. And turns out that you can treat attorneys like they're robots, but they won't actually be robots, and so they leave. They leave the practice.
You know, you mentioned perfectionism, and that is so important. There are two other things that I think develop alongside that that I think are also important. You talked about law school, and I found law school to be intensely competitive because everything was on a curve. So it was all about beating the person sitting in the desk. And that continues in getting our job or competing with those classmates and classmates of other law schools to get the job we want. And then we're in the firm or sometimes competing with other associates to make partner or as partner. So competition starts in law school and it never really ends. Even in a firm, instead of feeling like you're part of a team, you often feel like you're competing against associates. And the other thing that's coupled with perfectionism, we're also talented, hardworking, smart, but we have this self-doubt where we often don't think we are. And maybe that's tied to perfectionism because we want to be so perfect because we're not quite sure we're good enough. And all those three traits of self-doubt, perfectionism, and always being in a competitive environment create a real whirlwind of sort of challenging mindset issues.
Exactly. And, you know, I find that the people that are most affected by those issues that you're pointing out are the exact people that you want running law firms. You want them to be in charge, but they leave before there's that there. So, you know, I've definitely worked for some very good partners and worked for some very good law firms. So it's not, you know, it's not an across the board issue, but I do think that we are getting rid of some of the people that we would rather not as a profession.
I know you're on a mission to fight for change within the legal profession. What kind of changes or reforms do you think we need to really improve the culture in the legal profession and to improve work-life balance for attorneys?
So I think one of the things that we need to do is allow attorneys to set boundaries again. You know, we've gotten to this 24/7 on mentality. And I think as a law firm or as a profession, really, we need to stop tolerating that. I think that is going to involve some conversations, some very difficult conversations between the people who are more experienced, the people who are less experienced. Everybody needs to be involved and needs to be on board. I think that one thing that law firms I've found, and I've been in several law firms, one thing that I found is that they're pretty bad at distributing work evenly. And so I think, you know, just simple things like having some sort of work management system, you know, I don't want to mention any names, but, you know, I've seen those before. And, you know, things like that, I think would just go a long way to helping people be able to work hard, still work hard, but live their life. Go ahead.
Tell me about what you mean about work not being distributed evenly. I know that law firms typically track hours that we work and we need to work a certain number of hours, but do you mean the one who gets the most work done gets more given to him or her?
Yeah. In a law firm, the typical reward for a job well done is more work. And I think trying to think about how to word this, you know, looking at my area of expertise in patent law, we're all very specialized. So there may only be one chemical patent attorney in a firm. And so it's a lot harder to do that. I think that in some areas of law, though, people aren't as highly specialized. And so I think that there can be some work done to make sure that the most effective, for lack of a better word, the best attorneys aren't the only ones that are being loaded up. I think that we could just be a little better about spreading it around a little bit. And again, that is, I think the nature of a law firm is that it's not a central force. You know, you have a lot of individual teams, and a lot of times in law firms, those individual teams are not talking to each other. So unless you are somebody who can set boundaries, if you're a good attorney, you might end up on multiple teams and have to juggle those. Whereas somebody who is maybe still learning the craft and still doing a decent job, but not the best, they might only end up on one team and they may sit around and not have much work, which over time they'll end up out of the firm because that's how firms operate. But I think we're doing a disservice to both the really good attorney and the attorney that maybe needs a little more work.
Well said. And I think some people call that the silo effect, that often inside a firm, there's not a lot of communication between departments. And you may have folks who are supporting another partner partner in a different section because they have particular expertise. And often there's no overriding gauge of who has, you know, who has how much work. And I think what you point out is well said too, that boundaries is not just an attorney or employee issue, it's a firm issue. And some people can really try to set boundaries, but they won't be appreciated for doing so.
Exactly.
I spoke to someone the other day who told me that the boss said, if you don't answer my text within 30 minutes, that's like a complete no-no. I assume sort of 24/7, maybe not sleeping hours, but other than that. And that's pretty offensive because you could be at your kid's soccer game and not wanting to look at your phone to see who texted you. And that's where I think a firm can be more conscious of the work life and personal life integration that we need as attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we see this periodically, especially on LinkedIn. People will post that they were answering emails while they were in active labor, you know, just things like that. And those are the sorts of things that I think are actually pretty low hanging fruit that as a profession, we can say we're just not going to tolerate it anymore.
Yep. Larry, what can individual attorneys do to build a better work-life balance in their life?
So I think the very first thing you have to do is you have to decide what it is you want out of your career, right? So, you know, there are many people who partnership is the only thing they want. They're going to work hard. They're going to be there and they're going to want it. There are other people who are quite happy doing the work, but maybe they don't want to be partners. Maybe they don't want the extra stress of administering or doing the administration of the firm or any of that. I think you really need to figure out what it is that you want. Once you do that, I think it becomes a lot easier to figure out what's essential and what's not essential. So if you're being asked to do something that doesn't serve that particular goal that you have in your career, then that's when you start to say, you know, I don't have time to do this right now, and I'm just not going to. I think that that message will be received in different ways depending on the firm. I think some firms have started to do a better job of trying to integrate people who aren't necessarily on the partnership track into the firm and let them still feel like a valued member of the firm. I think there are other firms out there that just aren't there yet. And again, that's one of the things that I'd like to work on from inside.
I love what you said. I released a podcast on February 5th. It's episode 183. And it was all about aligning what we do as lawyers with our values and our beliefs. And I think what happens, and for those of you listening to this, you may want to go back if you haven't listened to it, listen to episode 183, because I talk about we often take the job because it's the best job, the most prestigious job, the highest pay. We don't really plan what we want to do. What's important to us? Do we want independence? Do we want a smaller firm? Do we want a better work-life balance? Do we want more independence? Who do we want to work with? And those kinds of questions we can ask ourselves and figure out, what do I really want? Because we didn't enter law school, at least no one's ever told me this. There's probably someone with our goal being to make a lot of money. No one ever says that. It was usually to be of service, to help society, to help solve a problem, or because we have a passion for a certain area, like you may have because of your background in chemicals. But we often don't spend the time to really analyze what is it we want.
Exactly.
Only when we answer that, can we really set a boundary, you're saying, and head in the direction of what fulfills us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I know you created a workbook. I think it's called Guide to a Simple Life. Tell me about that. What's your goal and how can it help?
So the guide takes you through a process of the way I like to describe it is finding the right thing at the right time for the right reason. So when you're asked to do something, this guide is meant to sort of help you decide if that is the right thing, if it's the right time, and if you're doing it for the right reasons. A lot of times, you know, the right reasons, I'll deal with that really quickly. A lot of times people do work in law firms that they maybe didn't have to do because they think that they have to do it. There's no real conversation about whether it's, you know, it's something that needs to be done. So I think, again, going back to attorneys being workaholics, I think we tend to just accept whatever's given to us without any thought whatsoever about whether we can do it or whether it should be done. So, you know, one of the things that I do in the guide is I take you through that first step, determining who you are. So, I help you define what your virtues and your values are. So, basically, if what you're being asked to do doesn't have anything to do with those, then why do it? But again, that is all about knowing yourself. You have to know yourself first, and that's sort of what the guide is meant to help out with.
Well, I think that's really important, because only when we know what fulfills us can we choose the right direction. And it, you know, I often talk about, what is it that fuels you, that sets you on fire, that gives you true joy? And that's what we should be doing in the practice of law. And it sounds like your guide helps those who utilize it to really figure that out, what is important to them.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Larry, where can they get that guide?
So that is at fourvirtues.com. And you can either type in the number four virtues, or type in the word four. So FOURvirtues.com. Either one will get you there. And I do ask for your email. I have to be honest, I haven't sent out any newsletters or anything to the emails that I do have. And I definitely don't sell them or spam you or anything like that. So it would be great if you want to download it. And I hope it helps at least one person.
Often. What a wonderful way to try to be of service to lawyers who may be struggling. Larry, what role do mentors or a support network of peers, what role can they play in helping a lawyer to find satisfaction and fulfillment in their practice?
So I see mentorship as sort of a two-way street. I think that the mentor, typically more experienced, I think that they help the mentee navigate the politics of the firm and help to teach them the finer points of the job that maybe, well, you definitely didn't learn in law school, and you may not have learned in your first couple of years of practicing as an attorney. Those things come up. But on the flip side, I think that the mentee also can help the mentor understand the struggles that are going on at that stage of life. You know, a lot of times, as we get older, we sort of forget what it was like when we were at those initial stages. And I think that it's important. I think it's important for both sides. I think that the mentor really does need to hear those things and be reminded of them. I mean, even I, when I work with less experienced attorneys, sometimes I'll find myself handing them something without ever actually considering whether they have other stuff on their plate. And then I have to call them and say, sorry, but, you know, are you able to handle this right now? And, you know, no is an acceptable answer and things like that. And I think that everybody needs a reminder every now and then. So,
yeah, I have the pleasure, as you know, of working as a mentor for attorneys, most of whom are younger attorneys in the field. And you're right, helping them navigate the stresses of what goes on in their firm, what goes on in their office, because often they don't feel comfortable in raising those concerns with their managing attorney, because they don't want to have a check mark against their name. He's the one or she's the one who complained about such and so. And I know that for them to be able to be fully transparent and open and vulnerable with me, and yet get wise guidance, can be really helpful to them. And for me, there's nothing more fulfilling than seeing the growth in a younger attorney when they can see the answers, when together we find the answers of how to navigate, you know, what's going on for them.
Exactly. And that's, you know, part of the reason why I'm a strong proponent of your mentor should probably never be in your practice group. So if you're at a boutique, I think it's a little different. But, you know, if you're at a big general practice firm, I honestly think you should find a mentor that is not in your practice area at all. Now, you should definitely have mentors in your practice area, but the one that you're using to sort of understand how the firm works, I think should be outside of your practice group.
Well, I've spoken to folks who are mentors for their firm working with younger associates, and they love doing that. But they're kind of aware they have a sort of conflict of interest, where part of it is getting the associate to toe the line, do what the firm wants, get up to speed. And part of it is being supportive of the associate. And sometimes they may be in conflict. What's supportive of the associate may not be what the firm is looking for. So there can be an inherent conflict in an intra-office mentor, although they still have benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do think that one of the things that we as more experienced attorneys need to understand is that we may not want. So yeah, of course, it makes our job a lot easier if the people that we're working with do exactly what we say when we say to do it, right? But I don't know that that makes a good attorney. I think that, you know, the best attorneys are able to exercise some independent judgment. And, you know, when we take that away from them, especially in their formative years, I think that that really has effects, you know, much later. You may end up with partners even who have never really felt the sting of getting something wrong, or never really felt the pressure of making sure that you get the right answer, because somebody's always looking over their shoulder. So, yeah.
I've been practicing for quite a while, and primarily in litigation, and I've seen over the years, I found law challenging when I started. I found it to be involved some pressure, but that has grown geometrically over time. The hours that we work, and in litigation, I found there to be much more hostility and less professional courtesy, and it's become much more challenging over the years. What changes do you foresee in the future, Larry, that could make our work life as attorneys better?
So the good news is I think it's actually, I think that we're starting to acknowledge the problem. I'm not sure that we're actually solving the problem yet, but I think we are acknowledging the problem. I don't think we can actually solve the problem until we are all on board with the fact that there is a problem. And so I've been encouraged, especially in the last couple of years, specifically after we all were sent home with COVID, I think that law firms have started to see the issue with the way that associates were treated. So I think that that's also only going to get better as the demographics in law firms shift. I think that, you know, as the younger attorneys who have only known practicing law on that 24/7 model are taking the lead of these firms, I think that they're very likely to have a better understanding of what they're asking of their associates and you know, less experienced attorneys. So I think that it would be, I really do think that we're in a part of a stage of the profession right now where we can go one of two ways. We can either get really, really bad, or we can get really, really good. I don't see us being able to maintain the status quo for too much longer. And I really hope that it's the optimistic side of things.
Well, I think you're right. We give voice to these concerns much better than we used to. Mm-hmm. I chaired the Lawyer Assistant Committee in my area in Maryland for 20 years, and it's become much more common to speak publicly about these issues. The American Bar Association has done so. State bar associations have. And I think law firms are starting to give at least lip service, but perhaps more than that. Right. But we need to get to really actions and a change of culture. And the more folks like you give voice to those concerns, I think the better off we are. You know, Larry, for the lawyer who's listening to you chat today, on his way to work or her way to work, stuck, frustrated, overwhelmed, bordering on burnout, what suggestions do you have for that person?
First and foremost, I hope that they have laid some foundations. I don't think it's ever too late to lay the foundations for enforcing some boundaries, but the earlier you do that in your career, I think the easier it is to lay those foundations. Honestly, I think that the more of us who really figure out what's essential, what we really need to do to serve our clients and serve our own careers and you know, be a member of a firm, I think that that is one way to make sure that you're not overextending yourself. I think it's, you're almost never in a law firm are you in a situation where if somebody's handing you something, you can say, no, I'm not going to do it. I think that you can have conversations around how quickly you're going to be able to get this thing done. And again, I think that it takes the senior attorneys also understanding that these associates are not just attorneys; they're people with lives, and they can't maintain a you know, a 3,000 hour a year docket. So those will help. I'm a big proponent of every attorney going to therapy. And the reason why I say that is because there are so many issues that come up from a day-to-day basis that, how can I put this? I think attorneys are pretty pretty jaded from the experiences that they've had getting to the stage that they're at. So I think seeing a therapist who specializes in working with attorneys, I think that that is a good use of any time that you can find. Trying to think of some other things that might be helpful.
Just interrupt you a second. I think therapy is a great suggestion. I think so often lawyers say, I don't have the time, or I don't have the money, I'm too busy. Mm-hmm. But no one is more important than ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we're struggling, to have someone we could speak to openly and confidentially with some training and expertise can be really, really beneficial. And if you are struggling, don't hesitate to get the support you need, whether it's from your lawyer assistance committee, whether it's from a mentor or coach, or whether it's from a therapist. There are always answers, and there are many, many people willing to help and support you.
Exactly. And you know, there's a reason why when we get the safety briefing on a plane that they tell us to put that mask on first before we help others. I really think that to be effective at your job long term, you have to be able to work through the issues that are popping up. And then one last thing is, if all else fails, remind yourself that this situation is temporary. I think a lot of times attorneys get into this funk that this is going to be forever. And, you know, sometimes you might get into a situation where you have a lot of work. A lot of areas of law are seasonal. So, in patent law, we have early fall, we have a time when the examiners start to get bonuses based on how many cases they've worked through. So we might get a lot of work at that time of year. And, it's temporary, and you have to remind yourself of that, I think, daily.
I know in litigation, there were times that were extremely stressful because of schedules and court schedules and upcoming trials. Mm-hmm. But it's always good to remember this too shall pass, which is another way of saying this is temporary. However we're feeling today, it's gonna change over time. Can you think of any good examples of law firms or of attorneys who've managed these issues in a successful or healthy way?
Yeah, I won't mention exact names, but I've noticed that law firms are, again, they're having these conversations. I think some are bringing in consultants. I think some are really relying on their employee assistance programs, or encouraging people to be involved with the lawyer assistant programs. Most states have those. One thing that I've also noticed is that I'm seeing a lot more of the entrepreneurial and attorney model. So people are saying, the stresses of the firm aren't worth it to me anymore. I can do this on my own. I can work less, probably make about the same amount of money, and have a better situation at home. And I think that law firms that have realized that that's what they're competing against, they're not competing against other law firms. They're competing against solo practitioners that, may or may not be able to pull in the big clients, but they're taking the bread and butter work at least. I think that that helps to change things too over time. So
I've seen many examples of lawyers who have decided to leave the firm where they were, open up their own practice, because their costs are so much lower. They're making a much greater percentage of their hourly rate. They get to represent who they want to represent in the way they want to represent them. Mm-hmm. And they get some freedom, some independence, and autonomy. Often there's some self-doubt and fear, of course, that goes along with that, but mm-hmm. it's always an option. For the younger lawyer who's listening to us today, Larry, what mm-hmm. advice do you have about how a younger lawyer can prioritize work-life balance and still be a successful attorney?
I think the first thing that you should do is define what successful means to you. The law firm model is success is making partner, or once you make partner, success is making equity partner. I challenge most attorneys to think that through at the very beginning. Do you really want this? You also need to remember that you have a set of ethical obligations, one of which is you have to confidently represent your client. If you are so overwhelmed that you are you know, you're not able to sleep, you're not able to take care of yourself at all. I think that that will directly affect your ability to represent those clients. So you need to start learning how to delegate, shift responsibility, say no when you can. All of those things you have to learn how to do from a very early stage, because if you're always the person who says, yes, I'm going to do it, you will always be that person. And even when you have decided that you aren't going to be that person anymore, it's going to take a long time to get other people to realize that you're not that person anymore.
Well said. It is important to be able to say no. And mm-hmm. if you're working in a place where you can simply are never allowed to say no, then that mm-hmm. may not be the place for you. But exactly. all too often, we create the problem ourselves because we want to show we're loyal and hardworking mm-hmm. and faithful, and we'll give it all for the team. And see, we say yes, 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 when we don't want to. I know yep. in life, I often say yes to something, and then I get resentful that the person asked me, why'd they ask me? I don't want to do that. Because I said yes, it's my own fault. Yep. So it's okay to say no sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a final thing that I would tell you when you're young is I know we all graduate law school usually with a lot of student loans. I think it's important that you live as frugally as possible, at least for the first several years, so that way you have a nest egg built up that you've saved. It's a lot easier to stomach. Well, how can I say this? It's a lot easier to feel okay about saying no to something when you know that worst case scenario, you just have to live off your savings for, you know, a couple months till you find something. I've seen people who are sort of locked into the law firm model because of choices that they've made. You know, they buy the huge expensive house, they have the, you know, the luxury car, and those are fine if that's what's important to you and that's how you want to live, that's fine. I just think do that with a lot of forethought. You know.
Well said. Well said. Larry, I call this podcast The Free Lawyer because to me it's all about how we can create true personal freedom. What does personal freedom mean to you, Larry, in your life?
I think it's minimal constraints in a society that trusts me to make my mistakes and fix my mistakes or learn from them at least and live with the consequences. I think that for me, autonomy is very important. And I think that without that, I could never truly feel free. So,
very good. Larry, thank you so much for your thoughts today. I admire your passion to help make our profession a better place for the lawyers who work in it. For anyone who's listening today who'd like to chat with you more about these really, really important topics, how can they best get in touch with you?
So forwardvirtues.com is good. LinkedIn, I'm pretty active there, or I have been in the past. And also on LinkedIn, I have a link to my calendar. If you ever just want to talk to me, it's totally free, no obligations. It's not, you're not signing up to go into any kind of coaching or anything, but I'm always happy to talk with people that want to work through some issues. And then of course, from the patent side, if you want to find me, I'm at taftlaw.com. And that's where you can find out about all of my patent work.
Larry, thank you for your generosity and your service in supporting other lawyers who may be struggling. And for those who are listening, give Larry a call. Set up a time to chat with him. He's happy. He's here to help. And out of two spirits, I think. One, he wants to help the profession. And two, he finds fulfillment in being supportive of others. So it's a win-win. Reach out to Larry and he can help you. Larry, thank you so, so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
And I thank all of you for listening today. Life is short, and enjoy what you're doing. Find your passion, find what you do that's fulfilling, and make your career one that you have fun doing it and also help and serve others. Thank you all for being here. And as always, please be well, be safe, and be free. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Free Lawyer Podcast. Wherever you are listening, if you enjoyed what I shared, please leave me a rating and review. I would appreciate hearing more about what you like best and what topics you might like me to cover in future episodes. If you are interested in experiencing a more fulfilling and a more successful life, please contact me at www.garymiles.net
where you can schedule a free discovery call with me so I can learn more about you, your challenges, and your dreams. I appreciate each and every one of you, and have a great rest of your day. Thanks to all of you for your support.